Well, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. We are live at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. And one of the great things about being here is the opportunity to talk to the best minds in the NFL, and we have one of them joining us now, John Clayton, the professor from ESPN. Thanks for being with us.
And it was great to be with you last night because the story came out today that if you drink wine, it can add to your life. And, of course, you added, what, 3 years to your life?
I added a lot.
No,
hopefully,
you didn't. You
hopefully
were fine.
Bourbon adds to your life, too, because if that, I'm in good shape with that going on. Yeah, and it was fun to be out. And that's one of the things that I think is so neat about the Combine is the opportunity to go out at night, and everybody from the NFL is there. Coaches, GMs, scouts, the insiders, everybody's kind of there
and
just
you
talking
notice,
football.
Like, the police blotter today, nobody got in trouble.
That's
Isn't
right.
that a great part?
It is the best part. Very well behaved here. We know how it is in the National Football
League.
Well,
it's Indianapolis. I mean, everything's nice here.
That's right. It's not Vegas. I think the Combine in Vegas would lead to a little bit more activity on the police blotter than here in
You can bet on it.
That's right. The good Midwestern values we're adhering to. Let's talk a little about these Browns and obviously all the focus on the Browns number two. Can they finally get that franchise quarterback? In your estimation, from what you're hearing, how likely do you think it is that the Browns do take a quarterback?
Well, it took a little twist today. I don't know if the twist is going to change anything because, you know, the twist being that Colin Kaepernick has asked to get traded or get out of there. And so I don't know how that plays with Hugh Jackson because I know that Hugh doesn't have control of the 53-man roster, but I do know that he'll have a big voice in what's going to happen with the quarterback position.
Yeah,
back when he was with the Raiders, he was very interested in getting Colin Kaepernick. I don't know where he stands now on that, but that would play into it because you know, if indeed they go ahead and have consideration, obviously I think they're not going to give up big value because why give up, why are you going to give up a high choice for Colin Kaepernick when you can take, Carson Wentz with the second pick, or you can, go ahead and get another quarterback. And so, that's going to be the debate right now. But, there's so many interesting things in the twists and turns because, all of a sudden, here's Carson Wentz. He comes out and he gets a nice 10-inch hand. And, of course, as, Hugh Jackson brought out, hand size is very important.
Sure.
And Jared Goff had a 9, which is very small. So it's like, okay, you would think that maybe he may want Goff. I think, and a lot of people think that, but does that change things? Does it put it to Wentz, or does it go ahead and try to get the Kaepernick? I don't think anybody knows right now. I think the odds still, the Browns take a quarterback at number two.
I think they do as well. And are you hearing kind of a consensus on who people think is the best quarterback in this draft?
No, because I think it's individual taste, and that's going to be the case for a long period of time because what you have now is the spread quarterbacks. And the spread quarterbacks, there's going to be a little bit of a discount on their ratings because you don't know how long it's going to take to turn them around.
Right.
And, of course, the problem is you've got, they don't take snaps from center. They really don't process plays. They just stand there, throw to one side, throw to the other side. They don't huddle. It's all those different things. All the things an NFL quarterback needs to do, they don't do. They just stand back there and shotgun and throw. It's pitch and throw. So because of that, you then start to say, okay, Goff's a spread quarterback. How long will it take for him to take a snap from center? And you can watch tomorrow's workout and see how they might look in throwing the ball, but that doesn't really translate in what they have to do to make a conversion. I mean, it's fine for, maybe having a Wentz who comes out of a more pro-set type of offense, you can get a better picture of that, but you don't have a picture of Goff right now.
Yeah, and you look at the two of them, Goff has that adjustment coming from the Bear Raid offense, and Wentz has the adjustment of coming from that level of football, and, two players, somebody was telling us, two players invited to the combine, only two did he face at all in his college career. So that's kind of amazing when you think about it, going from that level. But we've seen Joe Flacco do it and seen him do it in the AFC North and win a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. So it will be interesting to see how that all plays out. When you heard Sashi Brown talk about how important of a role Hugh Jackson would have, but yet you noted that Sashi Brown has control of the 53-man roster, how do you see this kind of marriage and union working?
We'll see how it goes. I mean, it's going to be interesting because, certainly on a quarterback, if you're going to be, analytically doing the stats and doing the different evaluations and all that, and you have a guy that's good at developing quarterbacks, I think he may lean toward his suggestion.
Sure.
I mean, you don't have to take it, but I think that he has to have a big voice in this because, number one, it's the most important thing for the franchise, but number two, it's important to Hugh Jackson. I mean, he wants a quarterback he can win with. Did a great job after Jay Gruden left of working with Andy Dalton and getting more out of him. But, he needs to find his guy in the Cleveland Brown organization. And so I think that Sashi has to listen to him. I mean, he doesn't he's not ordered to listen to him, but it's like, you know,
be wise.
Yeah. But if you want somebody, I think you go get him. I mean, you can do the other positions and analyze that, but I mean, you start with the quarterback, and now what quarterback they start with, and you know, we're all trying to poke and probe and see. It's
sure.
Like it goes back and forth. I mean, it's like, okay, you know, one day you think it's Goff, and the next day you think it Wentz. It's like, oh, gee, can it be Kaepernick? It's like, well, it could be any one of the three, but it's going to be a quarterback one way or another.
Has Paxton Lynch kind of fallen out of the discussion to be one of the top quarterbacks in this draft? It seems like it was a three-person discussion, yeah. And now it is all you hear is Wentz and Goff, Goff and Wentz.
Here's what it is expectations the first year. Paxton Lynch may be the best of the whole group. And I'll go back because people thought it was a little crazy for Blake Bortles to go that high to Jacksonville. But Jacksonville has the philosophy, we know it's going to take time to build this team. It's going to take a couple years. We can wait. Now, they didn't wait the first year because what they ended up doing was putting him in too early and using him up too much, and he got too tired by the end of the year. Came back this year through 35 touchdown passes.
Yeah, look,
Lynch
is
the same type of thing. He needs time. He needs the first year off or close to being off.
Yeah, we'll see. And the Browns are a team that, you know, you're like the Jags, they are a few years away, but do they feel the pressure to have a guy that can immediately step in and produce? Because Josh McCown, 36, love the guy, tremendous guy on and off the field for this organization, but he's shown it's going to be tough for him to play 16 games for you at quarterback.
Listen, I grew up in Pittsburgh, right? I covered a lot of Brown games through the years. Do you think Brown fans are going to be patient with quarterbacks? Absolutely
not.
They want the fastest quarterback who can come up there, and if Hugh has that guy, then he's got to do that.
He's got to jump on him. Let's talk about who might be protecting this quarterback, because that's an important piece of the puzzle. Alex Mack saying he may opt out. That's at least the word. Seems like he will. Mitchell Schwartz, also a free agent. What have you heard on those fronts?
You know, it's encouraging that Mack is considering staying. Now, obviously, to stay, he can come back and get a raise. I mean,
sure.
The top center is $8.9 million. He's making $8 million. I don't think the Browns would have any problem paying him $8.9 or $9 million. So that may go, but I think Schwartz is gone.
And when you look at that, how do you value a right tackle in the NFL? We watched the Super Bowl. Von Miller comes off that side. Khalil Mack comes off that side. We've seen J.J. Watt. The top sack getters were all coming against right tackles. Is that a position where you have to throw out that, you know, the top guys are around $7 million and say, hey, we need to start paying these right tackles more than in years past?
You do, but then you have to kind of gauge where he is. I mean, you know, he'll have the opportunity because he's one of the top right tackles, you know, and in the low case end, he's going to get $6 million, and you figure it's going to be more $7 million, so he can kind of pick and choose where he may want to go. And so, you know, you kind of get the feeling that he's more going to leave than Mack, although where everybody thought initially it was going to be Mack that's going to leave. But I think you can see there's a little bit of faith there. And, you know, it would be so nice if Schwartz can stay, because that's 4/5 of a really good offensive line. And, you know, Greco hit the $2 million escalator, so he did some good things to go from like $9.25 to $2.9 million.
Sure.
I mean, you know, you got Joel Bitonio, who was, you know, arguably the second best offensive lineman from a very good offensive line draft. I mean, because, you know, only topped by Zach Martin.
Sure.
I mean, and Bitonio is great, and you know that Joe Thomas is happy about staying there. I hope there's no thoughts of trading him to Denver, because that would be bad for the Browns, because, you know, it's hard to build offensive lines. And if you can keep one together for 40 or 50 games, even if you're average, you become very good, because then everybody knows what everybody's doing.
Right.
So, you know, you got to keep Mack, but it may cost, because again, it's hard to pay that much to all the offensive linemen. It'd be nice to do it, but it's not perfect.
Absolutely. Talking with John Clayton from ESPN here. We talked about the guys on the offensive side in terms of free agency. What about Travis Benjamin, the wide receiver? Any news there?
No, it sounds like talks aren't going too well. I mean, but the interesting part of this receiver group, take Alshon Jeffries aside, because, you know, he's the top guy by far. There's
nobody
in his range. But, you know, all the other guys like Travis and Jermaine Kearse and, you know, all the guys like that, they're all fitting the same. They're all number twos or number threes or slot guys, you know, and the true value, at least in the free agent market. Now, again, free agency is you get what you get. I mean, it only takes one team to, you know, take it to $6 million. But you figure that, you know, he's in the $4 million range. And if the Browns are offering too much more than four, they may be outpricing themselves. But maybe Travis thinks he's higher than that. Maybe he thinks it's a five or a six. And that's the problem that all teams face in free agency, particularly the second contracts. I mean, go back, 2011 draft was, you know, one of the better drafts in years. They had, you know, all the potential Hall of Famers, the J.J. Watts, the Von Millers, you know, Cam Newton, all that stuff. And so from that group, only 90 guys got second contracts. Some of those guys got minimum contracts. You know, 47 left and got less money than they did in 2010 in free agency, 43 retained. But that's not a lot.
Right.
And the 2012 draft was not as good, which, of course, is this free agency class. 2013 is a little bit less. And so what you see is that, you know, guys are shooting for the mark, but they may not be able to get it. And that's what I think is going to be happening with a lot of these guys, particularly at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, and you know that the cap's going up and there's all the money out there. So as a team, you want to be fiscally responsible in your valuation. And players are thinking, hey, there's going to be more money to come. We're going to change the way you look at it, and they want to go test that market.
It doesn't necessarily change the value of a player because
right.
all you have to see is that so far there have been six free agents from last year that have been cut 1 year into their contracts. And, you know, take a look at what might happen to the – you know, guys who have been cut and got contracts above $5 million, they're all systematically getting cut. Now, we'll see if Andre Johnson and Trent Cole get cut. We already seen Dwayne Bowe. I mean, he'll be cut. Antonio Cromartie has already been cut. I mean, pretty much everybody over the $5 million, Percy Harvin, you know, he got cut. His contract is void. They'd like to sign him, but figure he's gone there. So that's the nature. It's like you may shoot the mark and get $1 million or $2 million, maybe more than anybody expected. But if you're not performing at that level, they come back and cut you. Because there's no guarantees in the second year.
That's right. That is the life in the National Football League. The one that's intriguing is in Cleveland, it seemed to be the perception was that Tashaun Gibson, he had said there weren't really talks that he was going to move on. Sashi talked kind of at length about him yesterday, saying that, no, we do want to reach out to him. He seems to be the only guy that's possible for the franchise tag because he's played at a high level. He's been hurt. And maybe you want to give him one more year to prove that he's worth a long-term deal. What do you see there?
I think he's probably going to leave. I mean, franchise tag, you know, that's going to be, what, $9.5 million. And my guess is on the free agent market, he can probably get six and a half or seven at the most. And so, you know, overpricing is one thing, but you also have to kind of be strategic. And you kind of get the idea that he may be going someplace else. It'd be nice to be able to keep him, but, you know, they've got good money at the cornerback position in one area. And I just get the feeling that he's going to hit the market.
So if you look at this for a Browns team that is, you know, coming off of a 3-13 season, another regime change. Is it a big deal then to not bring back any of those top free agents, or are they not actually top free agents?
It's a big deal to bring back free agents. I mean, honestly, because, I mean, you look at what happens if you don't bring back the draft choices, or even in the case of Gibson, a guy that you've brought through the system as an undrafted free agent. It's very important to do it because for two reasons. Number one, you know, you now build up a core group within
right,
the team. And you saw that core group going from several years ago, you know, what was going on in that front seven.
Right.
But also, you know, you want to get younger, too. And that's you have to draft well. You have to draft well and get guys to second contracts. I mean, you hate to bring up the Cincinnati Bengals, but you have to. They've done a great job of that. I mean, look at the guys even since 2011, they got the second contracts. And the problem is if you don't bring them back, then you become a slave to free agency. Because, you know, if you look and, you know, Cleveland now is in the top five for cap room. You don't want to be there long. Because if you are, what that translates to, you haven't drafted well, and you're not getting guys to second contracts. That's why in the first 6 years since 2011 that Jacksonville has been in there 5 of 6 times. Tampa Bay has been in the top 5 of 6 times. You know, and then you have,
Browns
and the Raiders. Yeah, you got to get out of that mix. And the only way you can do that is draft or develop good players and get them to second contracts. So it is important. Now, again, you can't overpay. That's something you don't want to do. But you also have to try to find the guys you can surround. Like, for example, you know, if Chicago lets Alshon Jeffrey go and doesn't re-sign Shea McClellan, what you're looking at, they've got nobody because they let Matt Forte go. No draft choice before 2013 left. None. Zero.
None. Yeah,
none.
And that is not the way to stay successful.
So now you're almost like a franchise. You're like an expansion franchise.
Yeah. Well, one guy who could come back and certainly help this team is Josh Gordon seeking reinstatement from the National Football League. What have you heard on that? Is it likely that he will be reinstated? When will we hear from the NFL on
Hard
this matter?
Hard to tell. Yeah, because trying to figure out when they're going to make a decision on something, particularly on a suspension, or if they're going to suspend somebody, is almost impossible. I mean, it's like it's all over the place. I mean, there's no roadmap right now that spells it out. Yeah, but this adds to the quarterback thing. Am I not mistaken, but isn't Colin Kaepernick a good friend of Josh Gordon?
They have spent some time together,
yes. Yeah, and so I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent in the quarterback mix, but I just think he's going to be back. All I know when I saw him in his first training camp, and I know he was raw. He made a lot of football mistakes in his first year, not off the field. That came later. But I'm looking at it's like, this guy is really good. By the time he got to the second year, he was really good. And you hope that he's turned his life around, you know, not making the mistakes that he had made, because you want good talent. And see, you saw it last year. It's like, all right, brought in Bo, brought in Hartline, and they used the small receivers. And what happened? They all get concussions. They all get hurt. Small guys in a big game, you play too many, you get too many guys hurt. Well, now you can see, I mean, there's interest allegedly in Mohamed Sanu, sure, one of the bigger slot guys. You know, you get Gordon back. That's good. You know, Barnage got the contract extension. That's good. You know, now whoever's going to be the quarterback, whether it's Josh McCown, a rookie, Colin Kaepernick, or whatever, they've got better weapons around them, and they're bigger. That's
yes.
The other part. Nothing wrong. I mean, big in this game can't be underestimated, because small can get hurt.
And it did it. The game with Pittsburgh, like, knocked both of those guys out of that game. What's the – and I think you're right, and I think the Browns could even draft somebody maybe at number 32,
yeah,
add into the mix, and really give, because you look at the quarterbacks that have been successful, the young quarterbacks. Derek Carr, they get drafted Amari Cooper. They draft Clive Walford. They've got Latavius Murray in the backfield, and then they bring in Michael Crabtree,
yeah,
give him some weapons. We know Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns. Now Marquise Lee hasn't worked out, but they drafted him. They also drafted Rashad Green. Bring in Julius Thomas. Weapons.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater's got Adrian Peterson to lean on, but at least they went out. They drafted Stephon Diggs. They signed Mike Wallace. They got Kyle Rudolph. They gave him some pieces to work with. I think you're right. It's so important when you have a young quarterback, give him somebody to throw the ball
right
to.
Right, and that's all part of the buildup, because, again, what you're talking about is most of those teams, that's two-year buildups of their offense. I mean, Jacksonville's a two-year buildup of the
yep.
offense. You know, quarterback 1 year, running back 1 year. Two receivers that are working, and right now they're still waiting for Marquise Lee, and all of a sudden they're shooting up to 22 points a game. I mean, look at Tampa Bay. I mean, they've drafted in 2 years, first two rounds, five offensive players, hit on all five. They improved like 5-6 points a game, and of course, but they didn't draft on defense, and the coach gets fired.
Right.
But you can build up one side of the ball, but you can make it easier if indeed Josh Gordon can come back. You know, you now can maybe add one, because again, this is a draft of second and third receivers, not
right,
number one receivers. Well, he's a number one receiver. Sanu's a slot guy. And then you can come back if you get another right one, or you get the right mix of the guys that are currently on the roster. That's good.
Yes.
So that could help whatever quarterback's going to be out there at the start of the season.
So you, last question. You've been covering the Browns, obviously, in the league for a long, long time, and it seems that it's been reset after reset after reset after reset. Do you feel with Hugh Jackson that the Browns are maybe on the right track?
I mean, I still contend with this. It's like, you know, in getting Hugh Jackson, I think they exceeded expectations. I think they really get a good guy. What you have to kind of figure now is that, is there going to be enough time? Because, you know, this is Cleveland. I go back living, you know, what, that short drive on the Ohio and Pennsylvania Turnpike,
sure,
all the way back to the Rattigliano days, the Marty Schottenheimer days, and I've seen the frustration, because naturally it has to be there. I don't know if that time can work, because now you can see a buildup. Because now, you know, the moves in the May of the last couple of years, older guys in the back secondary. So there's a lot of older guys there. So there's not going to have to be a buildup there.
Right.
There has to be, you know, some things build up on the offense. And, you know, running back has to be, you know, looked at that too. So I don't know, you know, in 2 years if everybody will have the patience. You hope they have the patience, but it's like
they've been
impatient rightfully since 1999.
No question. Hopefully this is the time for that long, steady climb to the top for the Cleveland Browns. John, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.